Good morning, sir. Welcome to Frost Frames.
Ah, hello. Thank goodness I found your shop. I've been looking for a new painting frame for ages.
Excellent, sir. Then you've come to the right place.
Well, what I was looking for was a frame measuring...
Well, I'm sorry. I was forgetting myself for a moment. You've come to the wrong place. We don't actually sell painting frames.
How do you forget yourself?
I'm memorizing the dictionary and haven't got my name yet.
What's your name?
Albert Abacus, sir.
I see. Well, what frames do you sell?
Actually, it's framing devices for scripts and sketches.
That's clever. Well, I do have this sketch that I wrote recently.
Oh, really? Well, we can't possibly be bothered to do that. How about this instead?
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 134, featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, with the Sarcastic Voyage unpaid voice acting players.
Yes! Hi!
Hello, everybody! Hello.
For those of you who listen to both of our shows, you may be aware that Matt was dead for a while. In fact, actually, we mentioned it here as well. I put out a brief announcement last week that Matt died. Are you no longer dead? Are you a ghost? What are we doing here?
Yes, lo, children, for I have returned. I have pushed back the rock which blocked my cave. Made some toast, smited those who turned against me.
I was going to compare you to Lazarus, but for some reason the only word that came to mind was Leviathan. Are you Leviathan, Matt?
Am I a giant fish?
Yes.
No.
Are you...
I appreciate you not comparing me to that, to a smelly hippie who fought himself.
No, not that Lazarus. Not Star Trek Lazarus with the crepe hair. So, you were apparently deathly ill. Not too ill to watch Star Trek, but too ill to talk about Star Trek, which baffles me. You did the hard part.
I had no voice for like 2 days.
Must you have screamed?
Slightly.
Okay.
Title, or else we're going to get sued.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Not enough to invoke legal action.
God, no.
But
no, I watched the show and did the work, and then it's like, okay, I'm done here.
That's what I'm saying. You did you suffered through the episode, and you did the writing. That's the hard part. Getting on and saying, you know, saying here's what I thought, and making goofy jokes about it. That's the easy part.
I was sick for like 2 days, and then it's like, okay, I need to do something.
Yep. No, I could tell. You wrote a blog entry that was suddenly like not a picture you saw on someone else's blog.
Yeah,
like,
I don't normally do that.
He's getting stir crazy.
Yeah, anytime I'm home, I go out for like a couple of hours just to not be in the house.
Right. Oh, and I would do that if I lived with my family too. But yeah. I mean, we had a snowstorm here recently and I was literally in my house for almost a full week.
See, I couldn't do that. Like, even if it's just to go to the, like the Burger King or something and like read for a while, I need to not be in this house.
No, that doesn't bother me in the least.
There's too many people and dogs and a bird and some fish, and all of them want my goddamn attention.
Hang on. You have a bird?
Yeah, I've had a bird for, like, ever. Did you not know about my bird?
No, Matt. Tell me about your bird.
I mean, it's not my personal bird, but we have this bird that lives in a cage upstairs.
Well, the Robotham family bird.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Tell me about the family bird, which was a terrible TV show that never got off the ground. Family bird.
No, that lasted 2 episodes, got a cult following.
No, you're thinking of Bird Police.
Ah, yes, Bird Police. Was that the one where they solved crimes and sang at the same time?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Anyway, yeah, we have a bird at my house.
Uh-huh.
It's pink.
Yeah.
And kind of small.
Yeah.
And it lives in a cage that is far too large for it, because we used to have several birds.
And then it was sort of law of the jungle, survival of the fittest, and now there's only one bird.
That's pretty much exactly what happened. We used to have 3 birds, And then the main bird would just sort of perch over the other two birds and just loom.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the other two birds just sort of froze up and fell off their perches, Monty Python parrot style.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Do not fuck with small pink parakeets.
Parakeet. I was going to say, is it a flamingo? But I guess not.
Oh, man, I wish. That would rock. Like a miniaturized flamingo?
Yeah, or like a minotaur flamingo?
Yeah, a minotaur flamingo. So we're talking, what, half bull, half flamingo, half man?
Pony. Yes.
Half pony.
Flamingotar. So,
come ye not into the labyrinth and deal with the flamingotar.
He's pink because he eats pink shrimp. So, since I mentioned ponies, and this wasn't even meant to be a segue, but now that we're on the topic.
Fuck it.
Tidro has decided that the cartoon drawing of us as ponies was not enough. She's now gone an extra step and created actual physical toys of me and Matt and Amanda in her wedding costume.
the Amanda in wedding action gear.
Yeah, the variant.
Amanda action figure.
Right. You'd have the standard Amanda, and then you'd have the various, you know, different colored hair that she always has.
Sure.
Even though Samuel L. Jackson told her to stop, she continues to dye her hair. And then, at great expense to you, by the way.
Of course.
You paid your good friend Samuel L. Jackson to tell her to stop.
Yep.
That was my
intervention.
Yeah. And then you have the wedding variant, which is, you know, for those of you who may remember, Amanda and I were married in a supervillain-themed wedding,
mm-hmm.
And she wore, like, steampunk goggles and a really cool, like, purple dress, and it was very cool.
Yep.
But, and that's, her pony is that. And our ponies just look like us, you know, with the fiery hair and the beard for me. And the,
sort of the traditional us.
Yeah.
Dated back to the comic.
I love that we can be boiled down to simple caricature features, and that means people can draw us easily.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. But now it's taken on a whole new level because now Tidro has made these, they look like My Little Pony toys of us.
You know, I waited a long time to have an action figure myself,
mm-hmm.
and I got to admit, even in my wildest Toy Fair reading dreams, this was not what I expected.
No, see, to me, it's one of those things that you take what, I don't know if fame is the right word, but you take what recognition you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have someone who likes us enough to make us into My Little Ponies, you know what? That's fine. I'll take
it. That's fucking awesome.
Yep. Which leads me neatly into another thing that happened to me that I also don't get, but I guess is sort of a compliment.
This is an odd one.
Okay, many of you probably already know, but I'll backtrack just in case. I made these YouTube videos, about 5 minutes long each, depending. I wrote about 1,000 words of commentary, so however long it took to read that. For each episode of the original 80s Transformers series, I would review each episode, starting with number one, making my way through all 98 episodes in the movie. And I did it. I'm finished. And I was pretty happy with it. I kind of got practice writing, being a little more concise.
Being on camera.
Yeah, being on camera, being on mic.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of voice stuff. And by the time we got to podcasting, I felt like I already knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I figured out a lot of the basics, so that it was good. And I figured out how to write funny reviews, which helps now with post-atomic horror. So, it all works out well. And what's weird is these things keep getting attention. Like, I finished it in, I think, 2010. And I every week I get 3 or 4 new people finding it on YouTube. Like, it's not a huge success, but it is a continuous success, which I'm very happy about. But I got a note. I posted a one-off thing a couple of weeks ago while we were on break for Christmas. I did a quick little review of the Japanese Headmaster series. And I got a note from someone saying, I saw this pop up in my iTunes feed, and I couldn't download it for some reason. I'm like, oh, well, that's too bad. So I went and looked on iTunes to make sure it worked, did a search for me, and I found me, and then I found my videos in an entirely unrelated feed. Now, there is a video podcast, I guess that's what that's what you would call it. That's what I call mine, that's what they call theirs. Video podcast called Southern, I should have this in front of me before I started, I apologize. It's like Southern Cooking or Southern Living or Southern Flavor, something like that. And it's not really
in the South.
It's not even about cooking. It's about, it's not even about Southern, rather. It's about cooking. It's just, it's not specifically based in the South. It's just...
cooking in general.
Cooking in general.
And your videos in particular.
Well, that's the thing. Right now, I'm looking at it. I just pulled it up. It's called Southern Flavor. And we will link to the... it's an iTunes feed. So if you're one of those, I don't like iTunes people, then it's not going to work. But for the rest of you, click on the link and you'll see. Okay, for the first 50 episodes? Yeah, about that. They have various people giving instructional videos on how to cook. Between 5 and 10 minutes long. All kinds of stuff. Southern Cajun style, short ribs, the whole series of Asian things here. A professional bartender shows you how to do something with infused vodka. Cooking with Carolyn with shrimp. And then Ron Algarwat reviews episodes of Generation 1 80s cartoon The Transformers. And looking, they now have episodes 1 through 9 posted in order. And this isn't a crossed wire. This isn't someone, you know, my feed got mixed with theirs somehow or whatever. No, they're manually typing these in because they spelled my name wrong once or twice.
Well, what the hell?
So they're giving me credit.
Yes.
Like, they're clearly saying, this is me, and he made this, and they did. I watched one of the videos, and it was completely my video intact without a commercial of theirs or something. You know, like, I thought, okay, maybe they're putting something of theirs in my stuff. Nope. It's just my video and nothing else. In this cooking feed.
I'm looking at it now, and it's so weird.
So it shows up in Canada, too. It's not...
Yeah!
Okay, that's good to know. I actually didn't know that. Yeah, so they've appropriated my videos.
Dude, you need to write them a review.
I totally do. But for the moment, I'm just trying to figure out... This is basically my fishbulb moment. This is like, why is my head on the box of Mr. Sparkle? I have no idea. I mean, on the one hand, I would like to banish this podcast to the land of wind and ghosts. But on the other hand, they're getting me, like, they're getting people to watch me, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
Because at the end of each one, I have a URL to my website and how to contact me. And so, I mean, there's, you know.
And they leave all that stuff in.
Yeah. It's not like they put their own stuff in there. Yeah. I have no clue. It is bizarrely fascinating. And I did a little bit of internet detective work and came up empty. There's no clear way to contact them. And I don't really want to report them to YouTube or to iTunes because they're not doing anything wrong exactly.
I mean,
I can't make money on this anyway, but if I were, they still wouldn't really be stealing from me.
No.
So I don't get it.
This is so weird.
Yeah. Why would they go from Jambo Reggae Kitchen to episode 9... Fire on the Mountain. I don't know.
I can only hope that, like, this one episode I'm looking at ends with, apparently her name is Carolyn, mm-hmm. telling you how to prepare shrimp, and then, all right, and next week we're going to have a guy from the internet talk about Transformers. Good night.
They start out a little rough, but by episode 6 or 7, they start to get pretty good.
My favorite character is Cosms.
So I have no clue. If any of you have any idea how this happened, if for some reason you're listening and you're a fan and you did this, well, thank you, but maybe give me a little insight as to why.
Drop us a line or something, please.
And hey, listen, we are not beyond guest appearances. We've made guest appearances on other shows before. We'd do it again. If I know how to cook. I know my way around the kitchen. If you want me to appear and cook, I will do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to change your show on my account. I'll bend to your format if you want. So, yes, very strange. If any of you have any insights or any thoughts, let me know.
Please, for the love of God.
Why is my name on the Mr. Sparkle box? I just don't know.
Send us the videotape.
Please do.
Let us view Transformers reviews in our home prefecture.
All right. And with that, I think we're now going to play some bits. So we will be... What will we be? We'll be right back. That's what we'll be.
After these messages.
We'll be right back.
All right, settle down. I'd like to call this meeting of the adult survivors of Han Solo to order.
I'm Bosk.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Bosk. Now let's...
I'm Bosk.
Fine. Any new business? Oh, I see we have a new member here this evening.
Yeah. Hi, how does this work?
Well, tell us your name, tell us a little bit about yourself, then tell us how Han Solo ruined your life. It's normal to be nervous the first time. I'll get us started. I'm Dengar. I'm from the Dengarist system. My parents are Mr. and Mrs. Dengar. And Han Solo ran me over with a speeder. Not a hover speeder either. This thing had wheels, with spikes, and a blade for some reason. I think he was mowing his lawn, actually.
Well, I guess that explains the bandages.
These? No, these are traditional. Because my people.
Oh, well, okay. I'm Zuckus.
I'm Bosk.
What's his deal?
Solo backed over him with his truck. Now that's all he can say.
That's tough.
I'm Bosk.
Okay, well, as you can tell, I'm a giant insect lady from Zukon 1.
Oh, from the Zuckulon cluster there.
The very same. So there I was, biting the head off my mate after a satisfying spawning session. My belly engorged with a plentiful bounty of fertilized larvae.
Oh god, I can see where this is going.
No, I don't think you can. That bastard, that bevested smirking douchebag, speeds by in that horrible ship of his, and I guess he was smuggling a giant magnifying glass that day for some damn reason. And well, Zukon 1 has 3 sons, and...
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. He parks that flying hamburger, all of and all, over my house. Needless to say, the Zuckus household is not alive with the slither slather of tiny maggots. If not for the support of my business partner and traveling companion, Forlom, I would be inconsolable. But he told me about this place, and about how I was not the only one to have their life ruined by him.
No, you're not alone. You're definitely not alone.
What do you mean, Al?
It's okay, Boba. What do you have?
I put a banana in my jetpack, and now the missile won't fire anymore. I was gonna put somebody's eye out with that.
You're still talking like that, huh?
Hello, sir. I'm looking for a...
What was that?
What was what?
That dingling sound.
The bell over the shop door.
I don't have a bell over my shop door. Can you think of any shop that has a bell over its door anymore? It's bloody 2012! And this is a Starbucks!
Well, yes, and I was hoping...
Oh, God, this is a sketch, isn't it?
A what?
It's a damn sketch! You're going to come in here and ask me for some damn ludicrous thing, and I'll spend 30 bloody minutes trying to figure out exactly how to get it for you, and the audience will all have a jolly damn good laugh at my expense. Isn't that what's going to happen?
I only wanted a...
Or I'll be the one to be made foolish. Maybe I've got some damn crazy mental illness that prevents me from just serving you a damn cup of coffee while you sit there looking befuddled. Is that what you're trying to do?
What?
You think I have time for this? We're closed in 10 minutes. I should already be sweeping up, but oh no. You'll be in here asking for some rare coffee no one's ever heard of that sounds like a sexual practice. Or complaining that the coffee you ordered has been shat in.
Shat in?
Or some other damn stupid thing, and I'll stand here like a fool trying to help you instead of doing what any sensible person would do and just show you the damn bloody door!
This sketch is terrible. I don't want to buy this. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't even have a fourth wall. Who wants a sketch with 3 walls?
Meta is very popular these days, sir.
I don't care. It doesn't even match the frame.
Very well, sir. Anything else I can help you with?
Yes, I need a new bell for my shop. Do you sell those?
Who's next?
I think it's... Let's see, Mike Malone?
Mike Malone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fun continues at this, the 37th annual Warlock Ageddon, the third most popular... Yeah! So are you guys pumped? Oh, fantastic. Our next guest... Oh boy, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is a doozy. You might remember him as precocious scamp Timmy Tompkins from the 1985 to 1991 Smash TV hit Galactic Adventures. He went on to play a number of troubled teens and young adults in various TV movies into the 90s.
Wait, who is this?
Oh, remember Galactic Adventures?
Of course I do. I mean, I'm more of a fantasy fan, obviously. If it doesn't have wizards and broadswords and orcs in it, why bother?
Well, obviously.
But everybody watched Galactic Adventures. Oh, and this guy coming up on the stage? I don't recognize him at all.
Oh, remember the really painfully uninteresting kid character? The one who wore, like, a propeller beanie and those awful striped shirts and short pants?
Oh, God, and those giant lollipops!
Yet now you're remembering. The one who was, like, a ridiculous attempt to appeal to pedophiles in the audience.
Yeah, I got it now. I know who this is.
Mike Malone!
OMG, bitches! I'm in your con! Talking to all of your guys! This place is so epic, Wynn. I brought my D20s! Hey, winter's coming, right, guys? I can has cheeseburger. I want to go to there. Chocolate rain?
Ugh, come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, Will Wheaton's down in the main conference hall. And we're back.
I hope you enjoyed whatever that was.
You know what it was. We wrote it.
I mean, I know what it was, but I don't know which of the things it was the one.
It was the stuff we wrote.
Right.
They got those.
But I don't know the order they're in. You set that up later.
Well, that's true.
So whatever we came off of, I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, that is true. You know, there's something I've always wanted to ask you. We do, to synchronize our recordings, I'm going to step back and pull the curtain back for a second here.
Oh, God, don't do it.
I know, I'm doing it. The curtain, has anyone cleaned behind this curtain? It's filthy. Look at this. Have you just been sweeping the leavings under the curtain?
Yeah, of course. That's why we have a curtain. Why else would we have a curtain for a fucking radio show?
There's intestines back here.
Yeah, because we also make the sausage back there.
Oh, I don't want to show people how to make the sausage. I regret this. I take it back.
And once that's done, we got to show them how baseball happens.
Oh, well, I don't know that one.
That's going to be the hard part. We need to stick with how sausage is made. I have a dim understanding of how that works.
There was a thing I did one year when I used to do, when I wrote a thing called Sarcastic Voyage on the web, which was just, you know, me writing stuff. Mm-hmm. I called it Sarcastic Voyage. I like the name, so we use it for this. I did this thing one summer. I called it Cruel Summer, where I forced myself to do things that I hated, to write about them. I made myself go to a baseball game.
You're a strange man, Al. You know that, right?
It made for some really good writing, like some of my best, like, I hate this, but, or maybe I would decide I didn't hate it and I would enjoy myself or whatever. But the idea was I would experience something new and write about it. And, you know, I'm generally funnier when I'm complaining. So,
as
I gave myself stuff to complain about. Yeah. But every now and then I toy with the idea of doing that to us. Of doing the Cruel Summer thing. You know, after the hit song, of course, Cruel Summer.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
By the Bee Gees.
Here on my own. No, not by the Bee Gees. By the Go-Go's, I think. Something with a repetitive syllable. You're on the right track.
The Bee Gees, the Go-Go's.
The Hoo-Hoos, the Na-Na's. Sha-na-na. I don't know. Anyway,
Sha-na-na
but
kind of fits in there. It's got that extra syllable.
Yeah.
They went on to technicality.
But I went to a baseball game in that, and I'm thinking, you know, I could drag you to a baseball game just to be miserable, and then we could make comedy about it. That could be a thing we could do.
I would almost rather just record an episode at a baseball game, because who gives
Well, that's
a
what
shit?
I mean. Yeah, exactly. But in any case, stepping behind the curtain here, we do a count to synchronize our things. I say one, he says two, and so on. When you get to four, you say it in like a Boston accent, and I don't know why.
Every time?
Every time. Four. It's weird. Everyone's got a different, like when we have people on, we don't have on often. They think they're being cute and we haven't heard it before. Mm-hmm. I go one, you go two, and they go Egon, which was cute the first time somebody did it. And even kind of the second time, but after the eighth time, it's not funny anymore.
No, that's happened like a billion times.
Yeah. Or you get Vishal, who's always really excited to be on, and he'll go three. And I almost don't want to cut that part out just because he sounds so happy to be here.
I feel like that's a good way to close the show.
Three! But no, every time. Four.
That's weird.
I edit the show every time, so I know. And I don't know why. Because when we're doing Nick and Willikins, we do it in character so we can kind of start getting into the voices.
Exactly.
But this is just us. This is just in our Al and Matt characters. Mm-hmm. There's no need to do a funny voice. So I don't know what that's about.
I don't know what to tell you.
You don't know that you're doing it.
No.
Very well. Why don't we answer some mail instead, since we can't answer that question?
Sure, let's get to that.
We had a question on Twitter a minute ago. Somebody asked if you were alive now and asked how Elvis is.
Elvis is not actually dead, oddly enough.
So while you were dead, you didn't see him?
No, of course not.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's not like they let me into the high end of heaven.
Yeah, heaven.
Which doesn't even make sense, because A, I don't believe in it, and B, why would I go there?
Especially if you don't believe in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even if there was one, you wouldn't get there because, nope. It's like Tinkerbell. You got to believe to, you know.
You get into heaven if you curse?
I'm pretty sure you do.
I don't remember that being... It's been a long time since Sunday school, but I don't remember a thou shalt not curse commandment.
I never... Well, I'm taking the Lord's name in vain. So you can't say goddamn or Jesus Christ.
Oh, fuck. Well, we're fucking screwed then.
A fuck is fine. Screwed is fine. You just can't say goddamn and Jesus Christ.
How about H Christ?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's like somebody else.
See?
I think the H is to specifically designate that it's not the Lord. It's a different guy.
See, goddamn, it makes sense to me, but Jesus Christ is just a name. That's like...
Yeah, but when you say it, when you stub your toe or when you're angry at something, it's taking the name of something that's supposed to be sacred and good and applying it to something, you know, saying, motherfucker.
Well, maybe like, it's a prayer. Maybe it's like, Jesus H. Christ, please fix my busted toe.
No, again, Jesus H. Christ is a different guy.
Okay, fine. It's like, here's regular thing. Christ, please fix my toe.
You know, original Christ.
Christ classic.
I can see you from here.
I much preferred Crystal Christ.
Did you,
The transparent savior.
Yes, of course. It tastes the same as the regular savior, but you can see right through him. Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever wonder why, serial killers have three names?
Yeah, that pops up a lot, doesn't it?
Yes. This is one of those things people, I actually know this, I learned it from QI or some trivia book or something. There's a real reason for this, and I'm going to tie it back to what we're talking about. It is because newspapers do not want to get sued for, I don't know if it's slander or libel. I don't know which one it is. It's been a long time, and journalism doesn't really exist anymore, so it doesn't really matter. But it's whichever one. Okay, let's say, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald shoots the president.
Right.
And you in your newspaper, you say Lee Oswald shoots the president. All guys named Lee Oswald could conceivably say, you know, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah.
But if you specify, no, this is the guy's...
How the hell am I supposed to get a job now that they think I shot the president?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to pop up in all kinds of databases or 1963 versions of databases. I don't know.
Card catalogs.
Microfiches. You're flagged in the microfiche, Lee Oswald.
That one giant, like, computer with the big turning tapes on the front.
Yes. Oh, I love that thing. The ENIAC.
Yes.
Or the UNIVAC. UNIVAC, that's...
There you go, UNIVAC.
UNIVAC was something, yeah.
The shop UNIVAC.
Yes, it has your permanent record in it.
Right, and you can also use it to get the water out of your basement.
Yep. So, to save themselves, you know, defaming people's names, they would use as much of the name as they had. So they would always use the full name, which is why, you know, people have three names. So, you know, John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald, Mark David Chapman, that's why that is. So... I think Jesus H. Christ is a very specific attempt to say, I'm not talking about that Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus H. Christ.
I'm talking about Jesus the serial killer.
Yes, which neatly sidesteps taking the Lord's name in vain. You're just taking some serial killer's name in vain. Who cares?
Yeah, but now I'm thinking of Jesus tucking his genitals behind his legs and looking in a mirror and asking if he would fuck him.
I'd crucify me. Oh, you are alive again. You couldn't laugh like that if you're dead. All right, you wanna crack into some mail here?
Help me alone, just cross to the van.
Is she a big fat disciple? All right, let's
put the savior in the basket.
No, he's still got a little poodle named Precious. That part's still. All right, first email we have is from English Gav. And he says, dear Algaroxta and Matakul.
You can't just make words going, up now.
I think he's going for Aztec names, because...
That's a new one.
Algaroxta and Matakul. Well, because I think not too long ago, their Drunken Time Travel, which you should listen to, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, you should.
Their Doctor Who review show, did the Aztecs episode of the old Doctor Who. And I think maybe he might have had that on the brain or something.
Did Cuckoo Khan show up?
I'm not sure, actually. I mostly listen to them get drunk and yell at each other. I don't really know what happened in the episode. I don't really follow the episodes very much. I mostly just listen to them. He says, firstly, I dub you the aforementioned... they're cheese names. I dub you the aforementioned cheese names. I'm not familiar enough with cheese to recognize what either of these are. Secondly, being the newly appointed king of cheese, I feel duty-bound to improve the state of cheese worldwide.
All right.
To start this off, I invite you both to complete the first ever cheese census.
Okay, then.
Question one. What cheeses are currently in your fridge?
I think I got cheddar in there.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else. No, no, that's not true. I've got a bag of pre-shredded combination cheddar and mozzarella with jalapeno.
Nacho cheese. Very nice.
Yes.
I have cheddar, I have Swiss, I have provolone, I may or may not have feta, but I usually do. I have Parmesan, and I may have mozzarella, I'm not sure. So all the mainstream cheeses, there's nothing obscure there at all. I'm 9/10 of the Monty Python Cheese Shop sketch goes over my head. I don't know. You know, no Venezuelan beaver cheese, I'm afraid.
I don't care how runny it is.
Question two. What is your favorite cheese? I could give you a choice of cheddar, but that would be leading.
You know what's a really good cheese is marble cheese.
I don't know marble cheese. I know marbled cheese that has that marbled effect in it, but I didn't know that was a type of cheese.
No, it is. That's my favorite type of cheese. Or maybe it's
is
not
it
a
like
type
two
of
different
cheese.
Kinds of cheeses like
yeah,
marbled
cheddar,
together?
It's cheddar and mozzarella in one brick.
Ah, that's stuff you were talking about a minute ago.
Yeah. Only that's well. Like, you know, this is an actual brick of cheese with like, it's like cheddar with like right. wads of
mozzarella
throughout.
All right.
Shit rocks that's like fair. Sunday morning.
I like cheddar, but I like as sharp as it can be. I like it crazy, crazy sharp. And beyond that, probably like mozzarella. I mean, I'm boring. I don't know I don't know sophisticated cheese. I'm a very plain folk. I'm a very proletariat cheese kind of guy. I don't go for that bourgeois cheese. Question three, what is your least favorite cheese? Again, I can give you a choice of brie, but again, that will be leading. Many thanks for your cooperation, Gavin Cheese King Drury.
I haven't had enough cheeses to sort of have like a distinctive dislike of a certain type, but I will say this, I fucking loathe like hot mucusy nacho cheese, you know?
Yeah, that's not cheese. That's cheese, like cheese-flavored sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I like it, but I completely understand. You shouldn't count that. You should count that as junk food you don't like, not cheese.
Yeah, but, like, I don't
That's not
have,
fair to
like,
cheese.
I don't have an actual cheese that I don't like. I'm actually a fairly big cheese fan.
Yeah, me too.
I've had, I've enjoyed thoroughly.
When Amanda came to visit me for the first time when I was still living in Maryland, and she was talking about my unsophisticated palate, and she was looking at my refrigerator, I just happened at that point to have a block of cheddar, a bag of pre-shredded cheddar, and a thing of pre-cracker sliced cheddar. And she said, this is your idea of cheese variety. This is three different kinds of cheddar is your idea of trying different cheeses. In different shapes.
I just picture you being all like, hey, there's three unique types of cheddar in there.
Oh, I tried to get away with
now
that.
Now who's bourgeois? Yeah.
Because the first time I came to visit her, I happened to stay at we stayed at a nice hotel in downtown Vancouver, and they actually had like a cheese tray, and it had like all these, you know, weird cheeses, and it was fine.
Where's the cheddar?
Yeah, exactly. Where's the differently arranged cheddar? Like, it's got to be shredded, it's got to be cubed, and it's got to be in a block.
Send this shit back.
Yeah, no, I don't know what this is. And what, you got to fold it. I don't know. All right, I'm going Spinal Tap there. That's something else.
This is cheese tray.
There's a great bit backstage in Spinal Tap where Nigel just won't eat the small sandwich. Like, he wants small sandwiches, and they're big sandwiches, and they're just like, fold it. No, but if I fold it, then you don't get as much, you see? It's fantastic.
I love that logic.
Anyway, yeah. Next one, ooh, comes from someone we have not heard from before. Oh. Speaking of the Gavs, someone who writes into their show quite a bit, Stephen from Ireland.
Oh.
And he says, Al, I know you're in the middle of a Twilight Zone binge, and I thought you might find this interesting. And he's linked me to The Night Gallery, which is one of Serling's other shows.
Yeah, that's the one actually I have I've been meaning to watch.
Really?
Yes.
I may need to borrow that from you because I don't think it's on Netflix streaming.
I'll bring it down.
That would be fun.
Check it out.
Check it out. I was going to mention this in the other segment, and this sort of brings us neatly into it. There was a bit. I'm almost through. I'm into season 5, which was the last season, and I'm almost to the end, and I'm sad. I'm starting to drag my feet a little because I don't want it to be over. Because they're just so good.
Yeah, like, where do you go from here?
Well, I watched the movie again because I haven't seen that was on HBO like once a week my entire childhood, but I haven't seen it for years, so I'd like to see that again. I don't know. I'll watch probably the revivals, maybe the 80s one, and then they did one in the 2000s as well.
You know, I got a couple of box sets of The Outer Limits kicking around here somewhere.
Yeah, I've watched some of that, and it's okay, but it's not the same. It wasn't the quality. The level of quality just was not as high.
There's one with a skirt by Harlan Ellison.
Oh, I know. There were some good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't deny that. The very first one I've seen is fucking amazing. It's this creepy thing about summoning this alien from across the galaxy, and it shows up, and it's just this creepy effect with this weird shimmering thing and this great voice, and then they kill it. And it's just...
Of course they do.
It's phenomenal.
Because who's the real
creepy
monster here, Al?
If there's anything I've learned in watching over 150 Twilight Zone episodes, it's Matt.
Or possibly the devil.
No, the devil was mostly in season 1. I thought he was going to be all over the place, but after season 1, he kind of faded in the distance. Now it's racism.
The devil came down to season 1.
Now we're all about racism. Like, they decided, it's 1964, we've had enough of this shit, we're going to just say it. And it's pretty, like, they've taken some chances that have really surprised me.
Hello, I'm Rod Sterling. Fuck racism.
Yeah, that's basically it. And it's not like Star Trek where they kind of hid behind, like, racism. I was talking to Amanda. It's like on cartoons when you were a kid and they would just have drugs.
Yes.
And it would just be a thing called drugs and you wouldn't know what it is.
No, I totally know exactly what you mean.
That was Star Trek's idea of racism. It's just a thing that is bad, but you don't really know what it is. They would, because the characters were sort of nuanced, you would see someone being racist and realize that it was bad rather than being told it was bad. And it's so much better. And a couple of times, again, this really surprised me because it was like 1963, 64, like when the civil rights thing was just starting to happen here and Martin Luther King was a big thing, but it was still very much, you know, on a national TV show, it was still kind of
like it's
shocking.
A big deal to have some guy come on and be like, don't fucking be racist, asshole.
Well, there were two different episodes I've seen in season 5 so far where a wise black guy, and it's not like the stereotypical, like, oh, you know, the Morgan Freeman mopping the floor turns to the camera and knows everything.
The guy from every Stephen King book.
Right, exactly. No, it just happens in the course of the story at two different times. A very wise black dude ends up lecturing the white people about how to be good people. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you put that in the context of the time, like, I am amazed they got away with that. I'm amazed they showed this in the South because that was, you know... You can't have black people telling white people what to do. I mean, now you can, of course, but, you know.
Oh, no, totally.
But at the time, like, whoa, that is... And the one I watched last night had George Takei in it, actually, your old pal.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You have no idea how long I've been waiting to break this back out.
What have you been tripping, George? Tell me.
Balls, my good man. Okay.
Now, he was very young, like 5 years younger than the first season of Star Trek, and it's just the story of him and a guy who fought the Japanese in World War II, and it's just a racism is bad story, and it's a very cool, like, Takei gets to be sort of indignant and yell at the guy, like, you fought Japanese, but I'm Japanese-American, get over it. Like, it's very cool.
Settle down.
Anyway, the thing I'm getting at is I was watching one, and Rod Serling, in the course of his normal opening narration, did an impression of Ed Sullivan. He's like, so to speak, a really big shoe. And it's just like, okay, you got one of the most ridiculous distinctive voices on TV in the 60s, and you're doing the other guy with the most ridiculous... It's just like... It's like George Takei doing a Shatner or something. You know, like, it's like a double impression. It's just... It blew my mind.
Boom!
And I love... I love that. I love, like when we're doing Nick and Willikins, I love excuses for Nick to do Willikins' voice.
Yeah, that is so hard to do, but it is so rewarding.
Yeah, it is. Or, like, on The Simpsons when they'll get, you know, Bart to do Homer's voice or something. It's just bizarre. I love that.
Especially if it's, all right, anyway. Especially if it's like, the same guy doing...
Oh,
like,
yeah,
if you
yeah.
could get, like, Dan Castellaneta to be doing an impression of
Homer doing Grandpa?
Doing Grandpa or Mo or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, that's Hank is there. Ah, fuck it.
Yeah, it is. That's why I said Grandpa. Or like on Futurama with Billy West doing any other Billy West character.
Yes. Right. Billy West doing Billy West.
Billy West. Mr. Black. All right. Next
Only
one comes
also
from
voiced
John.
By Billy West.
Yes. Next one comes from John Wiggins, and he says, let's say Matt was walking down an alley late one night, and a man suddenly appeared and began chassing and throwing babies at him. If Algar wished to save Matt by killing all babies, what weapon would he choose and why?
Baby pellets. That seems pretty obvious.
I don't kill things. I'm a pacifist. I'm still a pacifist. I will always be a pacifist. Don't like to hurt things. Don't like to kill things.
No, that's my job.
Yeah. I surround myself with people who are jerks,
dude,
so I don't have
to. Are you saying I can't kill my own babies?
Listen.
Let me make this perfectly clear. Kill his own goddamn babies, okay?
I read all those signs outside the abortion clinic, and they insisted.
Yes.
That you know how to kill a baby. Yeah. There's one thing we know about you. There's two things we know about you. You have an old truck, and you like to kill old babies.
Matt Robotham kills old babies.
Yep. I don't know. I feel like if someone's throwing babies at you, why don't we just, like, open a portal? Like, get a portal gun.
Yeah.
That's a weapon I would use because it doesn't hurt anything. And I would just open a portal to somewhere, I don't know, like the Puddin' Patch. Like,
the Puddin' Patch.
You know, the off-license daycare out in the edge of town with the barbed wire around it.
Oh, dude, I totally know that one. That's the one out front that says fully licensed. And they spell license wrong.
Or licensed in quotes.
Yes.
We're licensed.
I don't know that I'm going to leave my small child or dog here.
No, I was actually stealing that from Homestar Runner because they had it was actually the Puddin' Patch that they called it. But those places exist.
Yeah, no, there's this shitty. I put a picture of it on Twitter once. There's this shitty little daycare down by where I live with in big bold letters on the front, fully licensed. License is spelled completely wrong. And what worries me is that the word license appears on the license.
Yeah.
So you can just, if you have a license, it's not hard to find out how that's spelled.
No, you can just double check it. Just pull out the old lichens. Maybe they're lichen throwers. Maybe that's a whole other thing.
We will babysit your werewolf for a small fee.
Finally, I get this werewolf pup and none of the daycares will take it. Like, teething was a nightmare, but now, just what do I do? But yeah, portal gun. I would open one end up at the Puddin' Patch, and the other end, you know, I would shoot it where the babies are being thrown, and that would take care of that, and I would not have to injure anything.
See, I would just have one portal where the babies are being thrown, and the other portal on the ground, so the babies were launched high into the air.
That's the difference between you and me. You're a baby launcher.
And if they land in the other portal, so much the better.
They just pick up infinite velocity.
Infinite velocity babies may be the funniest thing ever.
Jim Henson's infinite velocity babies. All right, next one comes again from English Gav. And these are many days apart. It's not like he's flonking us here. Dear Al Solo and Matt Skywalker.
Yes!
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I usually don't care to be Luke, but that's fine.
I like Luke. I always liked Luke.
Well, you be Luke then, or Luke with two U's.
All right, I will be Luke with two U's.
Luke. I accidentally stumbled across a science paper recently.
Oh, fuck,
yeah, accidentally. What?
I said, fuck, I think I got clone rot.
Oh, you've already died once. We don't have time for this. science paper, yeah, accidentally, that is a short and simple to understand analysis of whether the Death Star could really destroy planets with a single laser beam. The answer, as it turns out, is yes for medium Earth-like sized planets. Just as long as they don't pick a fight with Jupiterian-sized planets, they should be fine. Anyway, to make this a question, what one ingredient do you think Darth Vader has banned from sandwiches on the Death Star canteen? Yours, Gav Vader. He's posted a link to the article, which I will gladly share, because I love when nerds figure stuff like that out.
Oh,
I love
shit, yeah.
That scientists have sat down and figured out that the Death Star could actually really exist if you're just blowing up Earth and not something huge. Did you see somebody figured out the ice cubes?
Yes, I was just going to say.
Somebody figured out what day it
was.
Using all the context from the song.
This is the kind of shit that makes me glad there's an internet.
This is why the internet exists. Yeah. This is why we are proud to say we are from there.
Yep.
Because someone decided that this catchy Ice Cube song is not just a song, but a word problem.
Yep.
And solved for it.
If Ice Cube leaves Seattle traveling at 500 miles per hour.
And he's not using his, fuck, what was it? I didn't even have to use my, I forget, his gun. What gun was it?
His Beretta?
No. Today was a good day. I didn't even have to use my, I don't know the song. Like, I know of the song, but I just never really heard it, so I don't know. Someone's yelling at the radio right now. I apologize.
Well, let him yell.
Yeah. As far as with Darth Vader in the canteen, I don't know. I don't think there is a Death Star canteen. I think that is an invention of Eddie Izzard. I don't think it exists. I think that the stormtroopers are clones and they eat through some sort of weird yogurt tube or something, and they don't eat.
See, I don't...
And Tarkin just has his own like room of food.
Well, I'm sure Tarkin gets like something horrible and British. I feel like Tarkin probably eats a lot of like liver and onions.
Doesn't
he look like a liver and onions guy?
No, okay, here's who I think is like a horrible, like the worst English food you can think of. No offense, because English Gav did write that.
Well, yes.
No offense, but I'm sure you know the kind of food we mean. There's that guy when they're in the scenes, and what of the Rebel Alliance?
Oh, yes.
If the Rebels did obtain, that guy eats the worst food. He's got the worst haircut, and he eats the worst food.
Yeah, and I bet he always smells like garlic.
I thought you were going to say garbage, and I was about to agree with you.
I'm still right, though.
Yeah. Yeah. If the Rebels have obtained a technical readout of this station, that guy.
If we could just get back to the Stormtrooper thing, though. I always figured that, like, after they started the army with clones, they would start, like, you know, getting actual guys to be stormtroopers, because otherwise...
Oh, yeah, and I'm pretty sure they did.
Because, you know, otherwise, where do all of the different-looking officers come from?
I don't know, because we don't really see them with the helmets off. We see officers, but not stormtroopers.
Right.
They're different.
The
officers were never clones. The officers were officers.
Yes, I feel this is one of those things that I always want to poke at.
Well, and the problem is, you know,
plus,
even I, as a prequel apologist, will admit, George didn't think all this out, and it probably won't hold up.
No. Plus, so I thought, didn't Han used to be in the, like, he was joining the Navy or something, wasn't he?
That's not canon.
Oh, fuck it.
It's not canon.
George Lucas, if you're listening to this, go fuck yourself.
No, George, I don't hate you as much as everyone else does. Plus, you just did a movie about the Tuskegee Airmen, and I think that's
pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
I know he's been working on that movie since before the prequels, even.
Yes.
For a while, I just assumed Red Tails was the code name for the prequels.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't.
Red Tails, Blue Harvest.
Yeah, exactly. It seemed like the same kind of thing. All right. Next one. Okay, here's an interesting situation we find ourselves in.
All right.
A few weeks ago, we got a letter from Joel, JB.
Yes, that did happen.
And then a week later, we got a letter from his wife, Jen, sort of refuting some of the points in that email. And now we're hearing from the other side again. So I feel like these two are having some kind of a... Well, I've been watching a lot of British stuff lately, so I wanted to say a row.
My parents used to do this just before the divorce. Thanks for bringing back painful. Yeah, thanks for bringing back painful memories, guys.
No, these two are happily married.
Why don't you go tell your father that if he wants dinner so badly, he can come up and make it himself?
This is exactly what I feel like is happening. But they are blaming codeine and wine and various things.
Yeah, definitely exactly like my parents right before the divorce.
Exactly. And I guess they're surprised that when you write a letter to us that we will read it, but...
I'm sorry.
I know
you... Are you guys just trying to, like, start correspondence with us?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have a personal email, and if you would like to speak to me directly, that's fine. But, yeah, this is a whole segment on the show every time we do one. It's just, this is what we do.
Dear.
So to those of you who are not aware, if you write to us, unless you explicitly say, please don't say this on the air, we're probably going to say it on the air, unless it's boring. So I'm skimming, and he says, oh, this is one thing. You are absolutely correct on Kwanzaa. I actually have African-American relatives, and absolutely freaking nobody celebrates Kwanzaa. My family celebrates Christmas, because in the mind of my sister and her kids, Christmas equals presents. And to a minor extent, Jesus equals Lord, but mostly the presents. You would know this if you ever heard the greatest Christmas song ever made, Santa Claus is a Black Man. Which is more proof that you need to do a fucked up Christmas music episode and you need to have me on it. Because I'm a goddamn genius, as I mentioned before. Yours in Christ, Miss Music, JB. Yeah, I was actually talking to Jen, who's actually going to be making it out to Emerald City, which delights me.
Awesome.
And Joel was bellowing in the background, as he's wont to do. Which is fine. When you call someone who is married, occasionally their spouse will be involved in the conversation peripherally.
Yep.
That's fine. You often hear Amanda bellowing from the next room when we talk.
I do so, indeed.
That's totally fine. But I was made aware that he has this crazy, like, collection of novelty Christmas records, and some of them seem to be just normal, straight, earnest Christmas songs. And not earnest, because Ernest saved Christmas, but I don't think he made a Christmas album.
Oh, God, if only.
And some of them appear to be crazy, wacky novelty records. But I feel like there might be something in that. The only problem is every Christmas we do Clusterflunk and we don't have time for that.
Yeah, we haven't done a Christmas special since...
Ever?
Ever. Well, we did the occasional Nick and Wilkins Christmas special.
Yeah, but that's not the same. No. That's just because the British people do it and we like to make fun of that.
Yes.
All right.
Take that,
next one comes. Yeah, all of your England. Next one comes from I don't know who because they haven't signed their name and their email address is no clue. Dear Sarcastic Voyage, hello. How are you? I'm fine.
Awesome.
This is the first time I have written, but my question is, why has no one pointed out the irony of the fact that the guy who supports monsters has a robot in his name?
People have pointed out that irony.
Pretty sure we pointed that out the very first time.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's
the thing.
I
guess that's ironic.
And for those of you who don't know this bit, because it has been a running thing, but I don't think we've mentioned it for a while, Matt and I have decided to completely define the ideological breakdown between he and I as Team Robot and Team Monster. Mm-hmm. I am pro-robot, he is pro-monster, and that basically pretty much defines everything we stand for.
Yep.
And everything we are sort of against each other on. And, yeah, Matt, for some reason, is Robot Matt. I don't get that.
Well, I mean, you know, the name came long before.
Yeah, but Robot doesn't have a W in it.
That's true, but I wanted something that looked good, too.
Ah, very well. Look, you can't have W's and look good.
Look,
the
when
W's are just W-ing the place up.
Look, when I was starting up on Twitter, I wanted to move away from my old shitty nicknames of the past. And
you called yourself Lobo, and I always thought you were the main man.
Yeah, exactly. Except
you were the other Lobo, apparently.
Except that I hated Lobo the character, so like that didn't make any sense. So I got rid of that.
Well, no, it didn't make any sense.
Exactly.
You, this is the tradition. You not making sense.
Well, I mean, that's a good tradition. It sort of occurred to me one day that's like my last name kind of sounds like Robot a little. I should really sort of get in on that.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's that or like ham or something, and that interests me less. Not a big ham fan.
You think you like ham. You think you like ham, but do you see me like ham?
Get me a brandy.
All right. Next one comes from Mike X. We haven't heard from him in a long ass time. Sometimes I think we lose these people, and then they come back, and it delights me. We've heard from some new people this week and from some people who don't write to us often, and that always makes me happy, and I just like to point that out.
It was wonderful to hear from you, new friends and old.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. No. Matt, it is now February.
That's fine. We still haven't taken our lights down.
Merry Groundhog Day. All right. Hey, Alan Matt, who I hope is feeling less sick. It has been a while, but I've got a couple of questions. Last summer, I broke my elbow. That's not a question. Oh, wait, it continues. And it wasn't one of those fun cast on your arm, sit around and watch TV fractures. I had no cast, and I had to start exercising the joint the same week it happened, which felt great. He didn't write sarcasm there, but I have a sarcasm detector, and I'm sure that's where that went.
Look, if there's one thing we know how to find, it's sarcasm.
Yeah, we were on a voyage, in fact.
Yes.
Your little trek through the stars.
Hey, that's the name of the show.
Anyway, it's got me wondering, what kind of horrible injuries have you guys suffered? Any reattachments, skin grafts? There's another question, but it's totally unrelated, so let's do this one first.
I have been pretty much entirely injury-free, knock wood. Fuck, there's no wood in my room.
Oh, come on, don't do that. Don't be that guy. I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, I better knock wood or I'm going to break my arm. What's wrong with you?
I have a large scar on my chin from a skateboarding accident I was in when I was like 4. Actually, I have a variety of scars all over me because I refuse to go get stitches.
And I'm noscar.com.
Yeah, the chin one, which you can kind of see if I don't shave for a couple of days. There's one on my forehead and a big fuck-off one on my leg from where I ripped my leg open on a tent peg trying to get a frisbee back for my brother and sister.
Ah. Yeah, I have also been mercifully completely, almost completely injury-free. I broke a finger. That is the only bone that I've ever broken. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I mean, my left index finger, when I bend it, I can tell which finger it is. Like, I know that's the one I broke. It doesn't hurt at all.
No, it just doesn't work quite the same.
Yeah, and subconsciously, that is still how I tell the difference between left and right. If I'm not sure, I will bend my fingers, and the one that feels weird is my left finger.
Yeah.
So it's good that I broke it. No, it was a nasty break too. I was I riding my bike and I crashed and my finger got caught in the spokes.
Oh,
and
fuck me, damn.
Yeah, that was nasty. But that's it. I mean, I fell down some stairs when I was little, and I actually fell down some stairs. I remember doing it. That's not code for I was beaten. I actually, my grandparents had a pool table at their house, and I fell down the stairs and cracked my head on the pool table. But apart from that, that's it. I mean, I've not broken anything. I've not gotten any major diseases.
Yep.
I have my tonsils out. That's about it.
Yeah, I had my wisdom teeth out. That put me down for about a week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, yeah. I had like horrible, like they were coming in sideways.
Yeah.
Wisdom teeth.
I had the same thing. I had teeth coming out over other teeth.
Oh, that's even worse. No, mine were growing at a 90-degree angle, which is bad, yeah. But yours is worse.
No, when you have like a tooth coming in like over top of your other teeth, that's bad.
Yeah, it is.
And I think I broke a toe tripping over a heater once.
Yeah, I'm positive I've broken a toe and there's nothing for that.
Yeah, exactly. You're just fucking... you got a broken toe now, buddy.
Yep. Oh, well, you got 9 more. Favor those. No, I've been incredibly fortunate. I'm almost certainly going to be diagnosed with horrible diabetes here shortly, but that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's not right now. That's later.
That's future Al's problem.
Him and his fucking 5D glasses.
Thinks he's
screw
better
that
than
guy.
Me.
Yeah. Thinks he's older than me. Well, he is that. Oh, I also had the worst case of chicken pox my doctor had seen in 40 years.
Oh, really?
So what? Oh my god, yeah.
I had chicken pox twice, which is supposed to be impossible.
No, the second time you're supposed to get shingles.
Take that, odds.
Never tell me the odds. You, I suppose you're programmed for chicken pox and protocol. So no, what basically we're saying is that the mathematics add up to the fact that Matt and I are hanging out this coming weekend, and we are obviously due for a fiery car crash that takes us both out.
Yeah, like...
because we've both been completely lucky this far.
I mean, I think my most recent severe injury was when I wanged my wrist.
Oh, I thought you wristed your wang.
No, that's much more recent. That's as recent as last night.
Very well. See, I wasn't going to mention that when I had that case of chickenpox and I was home for a week, I discovered how to masturbate. I was going to leave that part out. I was 13, and I really thought that I bet nobody knows about this. This is awesome.
I'm the smartest man in the world. I'm going to win a Nobel Prize.
Wait till I tell. Well, I don't know how I'm going to tell people, but just wait. Yeah, I might cut this.
Listen, if anyone's asking, it was really itchy, okay?
Yeah. And then it was okay.
And then everything was better.
Somehow those endorphins just made all the problems go away. All right.
And I've discovered the cure for chicken pox.
I need to get this to Matt before he gets it the second time.
Don't you dare cut this.
Okay. And the other thing is, so my wife and I finally finished all of Arrested Development. It was brilliant and fantastic and some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen, and we're very sad we're done with it. Have you ever had to deal with the crushing, ironic disappointment of finishing something this good? Is there any possibility of some sort of extended conversation about Arrested Development? Take care, guys. Mike, pro robot. Nice. Thank you.
Fucking balls.
One for my team. I feel like Mike, I don't know this for sure. Mike, you can verify this, but I think he's one of the people who discovered me through the Transformers thing. So those guys are all going to be pro robots sort of by default.
Yeah. Transformers Army is strong, man.
Yeah, but they also don't like me because I only like the one show.
No, that's fair.
Because it's way more about nostalgia for me than the richness of the characters. I like it because it was what I liked when I was 11, not because I think it's got a fascinating mythos to it.
That's the exact opposite of me and my Ghostbusters thing.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know. I feel like I would love to talk about it. You know, I would talk about Arrested Development forever. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, do you think we could do an episode on that without it turning into just a quote off?
That's the problem with comedies, and we've done that with the Matt Groening shows. Okay, yeah. I suppose so. It's possible.
I mean, on the one hand, there's a lot to talk about with Arrested Development,
and I have a lot of weird. Like, weird little side streets, too. Like, not just conventional same conversations everyone has. Because I've seen the show so many times because of, you know, I'm one of those people who will study it.
Yeah.
No, it's mostly just that I've watched it a lot. I'm not going to say that I'm, you know, I'm a scholar.
Well,
or
I mean,
something.
For a while, Arrested Development was God for you.
The thing, there are a handful of things in my life that completely changed the way I look at writing, at comedy. And that's one of them. It's like, wow, I did not realize you could write something so dense.
Yeah.
With jokes that pay off way later and with several layers where this line could be a callback to this, but it could also be a call forward to this. But I mean, you know, they're just so, it's so rich.
Shut up, lady.
But it just, I mean, The Simpsons kind of started that, but that show really moved it forward. And that's, it changed, you know, changed the way I look at things. I mean, it's like the first time you discover something like Python or The Simpsons or something.
It's like the first time you discover masturbation while you have chicken pox.
Yes, it is exactly like that. That is what it was like. Except I knew other people had discovered it. I didn't think I was the only one.
No, I think we might be able to do a decent show on Arrested Development.
It could be. For now, I really would like to keep the show in one standard format for a while, just because we're trying to get new listeners and I don't want to keep experimenting and wandering off the road. Yeah. But we got it in us. We'll do it again sometime.
Yeah. No, and I would want to rewatch the show again before we did that.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, seriously, no kidding, I made my, and I didn't keep track, but probably my 7th or 8th pass through the show this past, like, over the holidays. Like, I try to keep it to once a year now. It's usually near the end of the year. And I was still spotting new jokes.
Yeah. No, that show is a work of art.
Well, somebody pointed out, I don't know if we pointed this out on the show or not, there's a bit early on in early season one where somebody destroys the banana stand and there's graffiti on it that says, I get you, and it's signed Hello.
Oh, fuck, that's right!
And we don't know that Anyang's name is Hello and that he's trying to destroy the banana stand until the very final episode.
Yeah.
50 weeks later.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that they did. It's just nuts. And I didn't see that when I watched, but I went back and looked, and it's there.
Yep.
So, I don't know. They're coming back, and hopefully it'll be as good, but you know how that goes. Hey, Red Dwarf Series 10 is going to be great.
Oh, right? Yeah. That's what I really want out of my new Arrested Development is, like, a 7-hour-long Blade Runner joke.
Yeah. All right. This one comes from Shauna, and she says, Matt, it's very hard to hear you. She asks if we keep you in a very large glass box while recording.
Yeah.
Well, when he was dead, we did.
Well, yeah, first I was sick, and then they put me in quarantine.
No, it's a glass coffin like Lennon had.
Oh, of course.
I was really hoping that your many fans would line up and to pay their respects, and I forget that our many fans are scattered across the globe. And while, you know, first of all, I could make a joke and insult you, that's still fun. Mm. You know, the fact is, all your many fans are, you know, far away. Nobody wants to make the slog to slurry to see your corpse. That's all it is.
I got a pretty sweet pony out of the gig.
Yeah? Well, I don't think that had anything to do with you dying.
No, but, you know.
I think that would have happened anyway.
I'm going to retroactively say that it did.
But I got one too, and I didn't die.
Oh, didn't you?
No. Also, you didn't mention your death when we were listing our injuries.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I died.
And when we did our sexy reenactment of the Compare Your Scars scene from Lethal Weapon 2.
Or Jaws.
Ah, also Lethal Weapon 2.
Mm-hmm. And then you were chained to a toilet.
I mean, now when I listen, I can picture Alan Matt sitting in a fancy recording studio, only Matt's in a glass box, Hannibal Lecter style. It could also be that I am going selective hearing deaf. Listening really hard. How does one listen harder? Yeah, I was having some technical difficulties, and I do not have the technology to compensate for that. I think it's fixed now. If it's not, you guys have not been shy about letting us know when things are wrong. So please, tell us when things are wrong. Yeah.
No, this was a pretty simple solution involving me trying to use the microphone on my headset and actually using the microphone on my camera.
Yeah, that's we've all run into that before, yeah. Where you have it set to pick up on the wrong mic and the mic that it's set to is very, very far away.
Yes,
The first couple episodes of this show actually were like that for me. I had some issues with that, and my laptop thought it was smarter than I was, and it was right, as it turns out.
But that should all be cleared up now. And if not, well, whatever.
No, we kid, but please let us know. We need to know. Yeah. But I like to think that I'm a good enough editor that I can tell when things are going wrong, and hopefully I can fix it. Mm. We've been in a situation recently, just to, real quick, I feel like we get too serious too often, and I'm trying to step away from that. That's kind of why I was putting the kibosh on the video game and comics thing.
If it helps, you guys can picture me juggling while this conversation is going on.
Yeah. Well, why don't you make a juggling noise, if that helps? That'll be great. Thank you. Now I've completely forgotten what I was going to say. Now, we have a lot going on right now. We have all the Emerald City prep. We've now finished the first draft of two books.
Yeah.
Since Christmas. It is the beginning of February now. So since Christmas, you know, in a month, we've written two books. We are now writing a full-length CD as well as one weekly show and one bi-weekly show. But we got a lot on the go, and I'm not complaining. We signed up for this. We love it. But what it means is when Matt gives me a recording that is quieter than usual, we don't have the time to reconvene and re-record, unfortunately. Whereas under normal circumstances, I'd say, Matt, that sucked. Let's do it again.
Yes, and he would be right.
And he would bitch, but we would do it.
I wouldn't bitch. I'd and right now, this.
Well, fair enough. But when we have to redo
Yes, that's a pain in the
sometimes
ass.
Sometimes it's a little tedious. When we have to remember, oh, wait, this was the joke that I made here. I need to make it again because it was funny.
Let me provide an opening for that joke, Al.
Yeah. We really try hard not to do that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, right now, I may be cutting a few corners here and there in the editing phase, and I do apologize for that. But it's just because we got so much going on. And once things get a little back to normal, one of my things is to learn how to make the show sound a little better, so I'm working on it. I really am. We'll get
Yeah,
there.
It's not that we don't love you, it's just we're so busy.
It's not that we don't love you, it's just that we don't care.
Yes. It's not that we don't love you, it's just that we don't love each other anymore. Oh God, more flashbacks, my parents divorced!
Listeners, tell Matt. Alright, now we have some voicemails. That is why I sound far away, because I am at the voicemail machine.
It is not a problem in that he is turned on his camera.
No. It is that I still haven't found out a good way to play voicemails while we were on the air, so. And the first voicemail. I didn't label these, so this will be a surprise for all
of
us.
Oh, good. What fun.
Hello, Ron, Matt. This is Brewtown. I have been advised by Mr. Brewtown. There's apparently a college basketball player whose first name is, I shit you not, God's Gift. Now, if your name was God's Gift, you think you would spite your parents by becoming a sort of car thief, serial killer, failure type person? Or do you actually attempt to live up to the name? Bye.
First of all, Mrs. Brewtown, if we're talking about what people's names are, you keep addressing these to Ron, and I'm sorry that he doesn't live here.
No. That's weird. That's weird.
I put my real name out there for transparency because I don't want people to feel like I'm hiding behind a name, but nobody calls me that. My mom calls me that, and you're better than my mom. So much better than my
mom. It's like the only reason he still uses it is so that I have someone to tell people at the border I'm going to visit.
But even that, I mean, seriously, the reason I use it on the show, the reason I have Dave say my name and because I put it on the credits is just because I really do not want to be one of those people who's like, no, I'm hiding. You can't know my real identity. Like, no.
Who is Algar?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about, you know, I don't know. The guy who hosted the message board we used to be on had this whole rant, and he was correct about people who hide behind screen names, and it's kind of cowardly. Mm. And I kind of took that to heart, and I always use my full name. But no, nobody calls me that.
You're not the unknown comic, for God's sake.
No, I'm not. I'm not walking around in a, with a bag over my head. I wish.
And thank God for that.
I was talking to Famous Mark. He's not going to be able to make it to Emerald City. I've been harassing a few of my, not necessarily show friends, just friend friends. And that's how Jen's getting out. Actually, I didn't harass her. She just kind of surprised me. So I thought, well, maybe I should work on the other guys, see what I can do.
She's this year's Dave, in addition to Dave.
Yeah. Well, Dave's a show friend now.
Well, yes.
In fact, he's been here from the beginning. What do I mean now? He's always been he's been here all along.
Well, at the beginning, he was a show foe.
That's true. Where was I going with that? Oh, he said he's probably not going to be able to make it, but if he did, he would want to wear a giant foam owl head. Which he hasn't played Saints Row the Third, but I'm pretty sure he was talking about like the what's his name, Johnny Douchebag.
Head. Yeah, yeah.
And that would be delightful. I kind of want to raise money to get him out here just to make
just
that happen.
Just to see that.
He could probably make one. Mm-hmm. Well, Famous Mark actually designed the Firehead logo that I still use. Like, that's his
Really?
His
that's
creation.
Him, huh?
So, yeah, he drew that for me.
Huh.
And that's become me. That's become the caricature of me that people can make into ponies and stuff. His work is being used for evil. But no, I have no doubt that he could make one if he wanted to. And I kind of want him to. So.
Want to see it.
But as far as the God's Gift thing, I don't know. If someone were named, if I were named God's Gift.
Oh, God.
I think I would just go by my first name.
Yeah.
Call me God.
No, call me Gods.
Well, yeah. But, you know, God for sure.
I would probably go by my middle name.
Zgift?
Yeah. Zgift.
Just call me Zgift. Apostrophe S-G-I-F.
Yes. Or I do one of those things where you take, like, a middle chunk of the name.
Yeah.
So, Oddsgift?
Yeah. I think I've told this story before, but my natural father, whom I've never actually met since I was one, had an idea that I would be called Killer Watt, and I would be some kind of an athlete.
Well,
that certainly never happened.
You showed him.
Yeah, so I think he wanted me to be a football player, and not so much with the football. All right, let's hear another voicemail.
Hey, this is Pat. This message is actually from now. I understand that you like Matt Robotham a lot. And I get it. You know, he's a likable guy. He's pretty cool. He's handsome. But maybe less of hogging my Twitter feed with how much you love Robot Matt. You know? Mal and Robot Matt sitting in a tree. KISSING. That's it, really. Just kind of jealous of your love. You guys keep on keeping on.
Now, see, I'm not sure if he said Al or Mal.
Yeah.
Because he could be jealous of your love with your girlfriend, or he could be jealous of our love, which are very different things.
Our love has been around longer.
That's true. But, you know, we're not sitting in any trees.
Not anymore, no.
No.
Trying to keep those injuries down, as you'll recall.
Right. I gotta tell you, Amanda and I used to sing a variation of that song.
Oh, God.
Based on the fact that we thought you guys were just so incredibly, like, I don't know, cute's not the right word, but sort of wholesome in a weird way.
Okay.
It went Matt and Mal sitting in a tree, H-O-L-D-I-N-G, H-A-N-D-S.
go fuck yourself.
I knew that was coming. So, yeah, I don't know what to tell you, Pat. There's no need to be jealous. There's enough Matt for everyone.
Yes.
And if you come to Emerald City, which I believe you are, you know, you can see firsthand.
Yeah, this may have been one of the nicest voicemails I've ever received. I may listen to this while I'm trying to cure chickenpox.
Very well. I think this episode's going to be called The Cure for
Chickenpox. I think that it's going to have to be.
That is an entirely true story, by the way. I didn't invent that for comedic effect. That really happened.
Dude, that is an awesome story.
No, it's not. It's a a sad, pathetic story. Let's listen to another voice.
This is why I wanted to do this podcast with you.
Dear Sarcastic Voyage, today I tried something new with my lady friend. See, we ordered a pizza through Domino's. I know, that's despicable, but we did. They're like right around the corner from our house. And they've got this neat thing, the Domino's Pizza Tracker, where you can track the pizza's progress online. So we ordered a pizza, and then we initiated sex. And we started to have sex, and we tried to keep that sex going longer than it would take for the pizza to get here. And kind of surprised the pizza boy while we're having sex. It didn't work out. Our pizza took fucking 45 minutes to get here, even though they're a mile and a half from our place, and I lost. So that didn't work out, but maybe other people could try it. New sex game, Domino's Pizza Tracker sex game. Try it at the peril to your own method. All right, goodbye. Oh, this is Pat, by the way. Wait, no, this is Blandy.
Well, Blandy, good to hear from you. It's been a while. You sound strange. I guess being out of the army for a while has mellowed you out.
Yes.
Sound a little less deep, a little less intense.
More of a Blandy.
Yeah. So I don't know, Matt, if you heard all that. He's ordering pizza from Domino's, watching the pizza's progress on the Domino's Pizza Tracker, which. I understand he's just discovered, but has actually been around for years and years.
I kind of love that exists, by the way.
I wish it existed for places that didn't suck, but I agree.
Yeah, I don't want to eat at Domino's Pizza ever.
But it says, they've got a level of detail on it to the point where it says, you know, Anita is kneading the dough, and Tom has pulled the pizza out of the oven.
I feel like...
Jim is driving the pizza to your house.
Jim has been intercepted by the Noid.
Man, I hate that guy.
Son of a bitch.
You're supposed to avoid him.
Jim has avoided the Noid.
Oh, thank God. My pizza's on track. Okay, first of all, they want to be discovered by the pizza guy. I assume they're trying to create some kind of elaborate porn setup.
Yeah,
here.
Like... This seems like you need to go through a lot just to get a third guy to have sex with.
Why don't you just ask him?
Yeah.
Plus, it might be a chick. And if you want it to be a chick, that's fine. But it's the uncertainty that I'd be concerned with. You don't know. You know, it's sort of Schrodinger's third sex partner. Mm-hmm. Schrodinger's menage a trois. You just don't know.
That's totally a Trek episode.
Schrodinger's Menage a Trois, yeah, probably. Yeah. No, they actually did Menage a Trois.
No, I know.
So that doesn't really...
This would have, like, Lux Bon a Troy possibly being in it.
Possibly
you wouldn't know
not.
Until you'd finished watching it.
Right. Yeah, Pat, I'm not really sure, or excuse me, Blandy, I'm not really sure what you're getting at. Like, why you're trying to abuse the pizza tracker, which is a wholesome tool to do this, but
I would like to know why we have the technology to know exactly where my shitty pizza is, but I don't hear about my Amazon order until it arrives.
Oh, you can sign up for constant updates to your phone.
See, I thought I had that, but it's just all like we shipped it. It's there now.
Oh no, you could like it's they've moved it to the UPS. I don't know if I guess you don't have UPS there, but I'm sure you have something like UPS. Mm. You know, they've moved it to the warehouse. It's on the truck.
But we do have UPS.
Oh, well, I don't know. I thought it was here, but good. Okay.
There's an extra U, but...
Of course there is. Is it brown?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But it's got maple leaves all over it, because Canada.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Because my people.
Of course. Right. It's brown. I don't know. I mean, when I ordered my most recent cell phone telephone, I had that, where it told me, it's here, it's here, it's here. And I missed it. And I was able to figure out where it was and go get it. And
that I had
I don't
it.
Know, that technology exists. Like, you can put a spider tracer on it, basically.
That's pretty cool.
And then you drive your little spider dune buggy around and figure out where it is, and then you drive it into the river. I've been reading old Marvel comics. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
All right.
Two in one, I notice.
No, just Marvel Team Up. Again, this is, goes back to the Transformers thing. It's what I grew up on. I don't really care about the thing itself. I care about what I was looking at when I was little. That's all.
It's like, well, what's the Human Torch and Spider-Man up to?
Yeah, it's like, I don't want a rocket sled. I want Rosebud. I realize rocket sleds exist, but it's Rosebud that has the memories. I want Rosebud, goddammit.
Why didn't he just buy a new sled?
You're the worst. All right, that is all the mail. I don't know how to answer that last one. I am glad he called in with it.
Enjoy your pizza sex, Blandy.
Sometimes we get a thing where it's like someone's delivered us a nice little monologue of their life, and it's like, well, that's nice, but what else can we offer? What do you add
to that?
It was
lovely
really?
To hear from you.
All we could do is the Rod Serling bookends of, you know, you've just entered the path zone.
A man. A pizza.
So that is all. Real quick, the preview for the Sarcastic Voyage Monster Guide is up on the website.
Take a
look. We have some pages from the thing. Yeah, the gorgeous art and the amazing design and layout by Vishal, just fantastic. Mm-hmm. We're showing it off on the website. That's just a couple of the many pages. Very hard for me to decide which pages to show because they're all amazing. And you'll just have to buy it.
Yeah, there's still time to pre-order it before Emerald City Comic Con.
Please do. Yeah. We have money. We got a lot of money, but we need some more because things cost money. And this is not going in our pockets. We're doing this to raise money to send things off to printers and pay people for their efforts and that sort of thing. So
if you haven't decided whether or not that you would like to buy this thing, please buy it.
Well, take a look at the preview pages. You'll probably think it's amazing and then buy it.
Really like that.
Quite a lot.
Remember the various, what do you call it? I need to get a dictionary because I am losing words at an incredible rate.
Word salad?
Yes.
We put a permanent until the end of March anyway, link to all the various informations about all the various informations, Matt. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for informations, they're all there.
Informations.
You won't get them. it's stickied to the top of our page. Mm-hmm.
Some kind of glue or something.
I don't know. but it's there for you to see what's going on at the con, what we're selling, where things are, how to contact us. It's all there. Easy. SarcasticVoyage.com. Check it out. And that's it for this week. We will be back in 2 weeks, which is what we're doing now. And you'll just have to listen slower next time because that's all you get for another 14 days.
Yep.
So that's all, and we're going to stop talking now.
Goodbye!
This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast featured Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, with Gav Brown, Chris Coleman, Gav Drury, Brian Lynch, and Sabrina Snyder. It was written by Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Gav Brown. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2012.
Oh, is that how the framing device works? I didn't like that at all. I mean, what the hell was that in the middle? I suppose you wrote that, didn't you?
I'm sorry, sir. I've forgotten myself again.
I'm beginning to see why.